Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And finally today, music from Miles Davis, because it's Jazz Week. All this week, Jazz Boston is presenting jazz performances around the city, and this year, they're dedicated to Fred Taylor, the legendary booker for Sculler's Jazz Club, who was fired from the club in March after booking jazz acts there for close to 30 years. Taylor was responsible for bringing Duke Ellington, John Coltrane, Dizzy Gillespie, Charles Mingus, among others, to Boston. He also established Tanglewood as a major jazz festival. In 1981, Miles Davis told the Boston Globe, "Every time I have a new band and a good band, I just come to Boston, and I wouldn't do it for anybody else but Freddie Taylor." Well, joining us now is Bob Blumenthal. He's a Grammy-winning former Boston Globe columnist and author of Jazz, An Introduction to the History and Legends Behind America's Music. Welcome, Bob. Good to have you.
It's my pleasure, Anthony.
So Fred Taylor has been called the father of Boston's modern jazz scene by the co-founder of Jazz Boston, Pauline Bilski. Do you agree with that?
Well, things like the modern jazz scene and when it begins are debatable. But I will say from the time I arrived in Boston in 1965, Fred was at the forefront of presenting the most important contemporary music. So that's modern to me, and he's done it without interruption, really.
And so give us a sense of what the jazz scene was like then, when you first got to Boston and Fred Taylor.
When I arrived, the major club in town was the Jazz Workshop. It was located on Boylston Street between Fairfield and Exeter, and it was actually, there were two clubs there. One was the Jazz Workshop, one was called Paul's Mall. And these were clubs that Fred and his partner of the time operated. And you could hear, I think the first music I heard in Boston was John Coltrane at the Jazz Workshop. I remember once going to the mall to hear Sonny Rollins and then going next door to the workshop to hear Charles Mingus. I heard the Duke Ellington Orchestra at Paul's Mall. And Nina Simone, Cannonball Adderley, the list would go on and on and on. And not just jazz artists, but I think Fred was the first to present Flip Wilson in Boston.
Wow.
And he operated that club until around 1978. And then the lease was up. And for the next decade, he was kind of providing a movable feast. For a while, he was operating Jonathan Swift's in Harvard Square. Then he was at the Starlight Roof in Kenmore Square at the Howard Johnson's. And then in the late 80s, he began booking at Sculler's, which he did until just last month, as you said.
Right, yeah. Now, and he really made Sculler's one of the top jazz spots in America. Was it obvious to you at the time that that's what was happening, that this was like the place to be for jazz?
Well, again, there were other clubs. So the Regatta Bar was bringing a lot of people in. There was a time when there were five or six clubs, Sculler's among them. I think bringing Fred into Sculler's is what made a major difference. Because Sculler's had a particular challenge given its location at a turnpike exit where there's not a subway line, there's not walk-in customers, if you will. And by building a club with a reputation for bringing national and international stars in, it really gave people a reason to go to the, now the Hilton, I think it was the Doubletree originally,
right,
hotel. And, it was clear to me wherever Fred went, great music would follow. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Well, a few weeks ago, one of our reporters, Simone Rios, did an interview with Fred Taylor, who talked a bit about the jazz scene in Boston today. And here's a bit of what he said.
There's tremendous jazz activity, musician-wise, but not audience-wise. And I don't understand it.
So lots of jazz activity in terms of the musicians, but not so much in terms of the audience. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that's the musician end. It might be truer in Boston because of the concentration of great music schools that bring so many student musicians to town. So you might find a larger number of great musicians around. I think the audience issue is one that perhaps even an international phenomenon. You know, our taste in recreational activity and how we use our disposable income has changed. One of the factors that was like a slap in the face when I learned about it was the popularity of video games, for instance. Okay, I was never aware that video games are a bigger industry than the National Football League or the motion picture industry.
Oh, boy. So jazz has a lot to compete against.
Right. So when you look at how people use their disposable income and how young people do, it's very different than it used to be. And this is not the first time this has happened. There was a culture in the 30s to go out to ballrooms and dance. That became a culture in the 40s to go out to nightclubs to hear music. Then television came in, and it affected that whole culture. And now as people build home entertainment centers and would rather sit in their comfortable chairs with their big screen, you know, full wall video units, it gets harder and harder to get them out of the house, quite honestly.
Well, Bob, I mean, as someone who's written about jazz for a long time, I mean, what's your best case to make people care about jazz and live jazz in places where they can hear it around Boston?
Well, first of all, I like to quote Cannonball Adderley, who once said that jazz is not a state of mind, it's a fact of life. And I took this to mean that if you hear it and have the capacity to respond, you will respond, but there's no guarantee. Just like many people love opera, many people have no interest in opera or country western music or hip-hop or anything you choose. But as far as jazz goes, I would say that the keys are, first of all, exposure. You won't know if you like it unless you can actually hear it.
All right.
And secondly, I would say, if you hear it on the radio, let's say, or in a soundtrack in a film or wherever, and you think you like it, go out and experience it being created in real time.
Bob Blumenthal, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're up against the clock, but that's a great exhortation on which to end this show. Bob Blumenthal, Grammy-winning former Boston Globe columnist and author of Jazz, An Introduction to the History and Legends Behind America's Music. Thanks, Bob. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Anthony.
And let's go out on the performers of one of the performers of Jazz Week, Brookline-based saxophonist Grace Kelly. That's it for today. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.